Okay, let's talk. Episode 671 of the podcast. It's late at night. It's well past midnight at this point. Talking Yankees, Athletics, episode 671. I'm tired. It was a bad series for the Yankees. I know we missed last series episode. I had a very busy weekend last weekend, but we're back. Can't tell you this is going to be a super long one because it's Yankees A's, and it was like a Monday afternoon game, so I couldn't see that until I watched the recording when I got home. But fucking, it was a gross series, and more of the same concerns of mine. So we'll talk about it here, episode 671, for a few minutes. Let's get to it. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, RJ Carbone. You are listening to BD4, where there's no better way to get your Yankees and Knicks analysis. We also do MMA. Yanks every series, Knicks every game, MMA on occasion. Let's get to it. Anthony for three. Welcome to the show. Episode 671. Again, it's going to be a quicker episode just because I'm tired. It's late at night. It's Yankees A's. And, you know, the Knicks just lost to the Sixers. Hopefully, they go for Embiid's kneecaps the next game and they get him hurt. You know, play dirty back. But we're talking Yankees in this one. My gosh, are we. Let's talk. It was a split. Four-game split, this is the Oakland Athletics. You want to beat that team 3 out of 4 at the very least. So we'll talk about it real briefly. Some injury updates and such. Gerrit Cole is progressing. Good. DJ LeMahieu was initially pushed back from that rehab assignment last weekend. A couple days later, he started it up. And was removed from the game after, I think, one at-bat. So, there's that. It always felt like they rushed him back with that. You know, they said he was going to get some imaging done. And that, like, that was weird when I first heard that. And then, all of a sudden, he's doing rehab games. So, we'll see where that goes. Not that I care, because he's not a good player. Tommy Canley is still throwing. It feels like he's been throwing forever. Peraza progressing in his throwing program, I guess. Not much updates other than John Birdie starting up a rehab assignment on Sunday. And the Yankees signed some guy, Michael Togkin. I don't know his fucking name. He's a random who's probably not going to be here more than a couple of days. They DFA'd some random for him. Let's talk about this series. Not wasting time. Going to be a shorter episode, probably. Not going to be the usual. We've been going, you know, to an hour, usually, with these episodes so far this season. But this will be maybe half of that, if. So, the Yankees split with the A's. Not ideal, especially at home. Game one of this series, they lost 2-0. And, again, this was a Monday afternoon game. You had Carlos Rodon, the lefty, going up against the lefty J.P. Sears, former Yankee prospect, who I think a lot of Yankees fans wish this team still had. Top of the first, you get the Aaron Boone ejection on the Verdugo call. The call itself, okay, fine. But it was funny, obviously. I'm not going to get into the whole thing, but Hunter Wentelstead ejects Boone from the game because he thought Boone was continuing to chirp, but it was in fact the dude above the dugout, just a Yankees fan chirping at the ump instead. So Wentelstead yells back to the umps, "You're done, you're gone." Boone comes out of the dugout, "It wasn't me, it wasn't me. It was him." And the dude's just fucking sitting there. And he ends up changing his clothes because he doesn't want to fucking, I guess he's paranoid. He doesn't want to get thrown out of the game. I thought that was hilarious. But the umpire goes, "I don't care if it wasn't you," paraphrasing, but basically, "I don't care if it wasn't you, you're out." And his explanation after the game was that Boone has to take the fall because it's his dugout, regardless of the fan. It was odd, man. It was an odd ejection. It was an odd explanation. But I thought it was very funny. I thought it was very, very funny. Very funny. And this was one of the, you know, if you're anti-umpire, this was not a good look for the pro-umpire crowd. There really wasn't anything that happened in this game. You finally got offense at the top of the ninth. Victor Gonzalez comes into the game, allows a base hit, a two-run home run, and it's 2-0 A's. The Yankees don't do anything. So it was Rodon for seven, and then it was Hamilton, Gonzalez, Marinaccio for a combined two-plus innings. They gave up two runs together. Hamilton was shaky again in this outing, but he got through it unscathed. They gave him the eighth inning. He left three men on base, but he got out of it without a run. Gonzalez came in, and he was pretty bad. He got the ninth, put three runners on, couldn't get an out, gave up two runs, a home run, was pulled for Marinaccio, who was good. Pitched the ninth, clean inning, two strikeouts. The bats were terrible. Yeah, no runs, three hits, all singles, two walks, 11 strikeouts. Two more double plays hit into. They were 0 for 1 in scoring position. So, you know, against Sears, no runs in six innings. And against the Oakland bullpen, no runs in three innings. Volpe, Stanton, and Trevino, the only Yankees with a hit. Verdugo had a couple walks, and then everybody else was 0 for. I guess the decisions in this game made people frustrated late with Brad Ausmus as the acting manager since Boone was ejected. You know, the eighth inning decision to not bunt with Trevino, that was questioned. And then in the ninth inning, maybe, you know, instead of going Gonzalez, who was used the night prior against Tampa, that was the game I went to, maybe start that inning with Holmes or Marinaccio instead. But I don't know. Not going to kill the Yankees for that. Game two, they won 4-3 over the Oakland A's. This was the Marcus Stroman game. It was Stroman versus the righty Blackburn. Top of the first, Seth Brown, RBI double, 1-0 Oakland. Bottom of the first, the Yankees answer. Stanton rips a two-run double. Rizzo rips a two-run home run. It's 4-1. Top of the second, the A's answer back with a solo home run from Langoliers, 4-2. And then top four, Butler slugs a solo home run to make it 4-3. But the Yankee pitching shuts it down from there. Stroman goes 5+. Marinaccio, Ferguson, Santana, and Holmes follow him. Marcus Stroman, yeah, 5 1/3 innings from Marcus Stroman. Three runs, a walk, seven hits allowed, nine strikeouts, two home runs allowed. 97 pitches, and he got the win, so that's good. He wasn't great. You know, he left pitches up in the zone a lot, and he got punished for them. You know, he hung that breaking ball to Langoliers. But what I like about Stroman, and it's something I like about this rotation really this year, which is ironic because I always said they have a low floor, Marcus Stroman seems like he's a pitcher with a very high floor. At least from what we're seeing so far, he's always going to keep you in the game. And he's pitching exactly how I thought he'd pitch. I said entering the season that I believe Marcus Stroman's going to have a really good year here, and he's had a really good year. You know, he's not going super deep into games, five innings, maybe an occasional six innings, but he's pitching to the back of his baseball card. And I think the complaints about the Yankees starters not going to deep into games are more on the Yankees for not really doing anything in the offseason. The guys they have are pitching exactly the way they're supposed to, and Marcus Stroman is one of those guys. So I thought he was fine, despite not being great. I thought he kept him in the game. I thought his pitch mix was fine. You know, he went sinker 53% of the time. Oakland went 1-for-7 on that. He was getting ground balls. He went slider 21%. That was hit around a little bit, but he also got 7 strikeouts with it. And then he was cutter, slurve, split, and then threw 1 4-seam. Yeah, he was using all of his pitches. Good movement, working in and out of the zone with that movement. And I thought he looked fine. The bullpen combined for 3 2/3, no runs. Marinaccio was good again. Got 2 outs in the 6th inning, and then he got an out in the 7th inning. So he finished with a line of 1 inning, no runs. Ferguson was finally good. He got 2 outs in the 7th and then came out in the 8th to get an out. An inning, no runs on his line. Santana didn't suck for once. He got the 8th inning, 2 outs. He recorded 2 outs in the 8th inning, no runs. And then Clay Holmes with another good outing. He got the 9th, 1-2-3 inning there to get the save. The bats in this game, 4 runs, 5 hits, 3 extra base hits, a walk, 5 strikeouts, a double play hit into, and they were 2-for-4 with runners in scoring position. Against Blackburn, they scored 4 on him in 6 innings, and then they did not do anything against the pen in the final 2. Yeah, like, it's a weird lineup, man. Like, they get shut out on Monday. They score 4 innings in the very first inning Tuesday versus a good starting pitcher in Blackburn, and then they don't score again the rest of the game. Fuck. I don't know. The only hits in this game came from the top 5 guys in the order. Volpe, Soto, Judge, Stanton, Rizzo. Nobody else did much. Judge had a chopper double. Made a nice catch in the 8th inning of this game. Stanton had a double, 2 RBIs. Rizzo, short porch home run, couple RBIs. It was nice to see the power there. Soto dove for a ball in the 1st inning. That's how the Rays scored. He dove for a ball. It got away from him and a run scored. Fine, whatever. His defense hasn't been a problem this year. And that was game 2. Where the Yankees won. Game 3, the Yankees also won 7-3. This was like the only enjoyable game of the series. Clark Schmidt against Boyle, righty versus righty. Bottom of the 1st, Judge initially strikes out, but right after it's ruled a balk by Boyle. So he gets another crack, and on the very next pitch that he got, he shot it to right field for a 2-run bomb. So it was 2-0 Yankees. Bottom 4, Boyle's already out of the game, and Kelly is in the game. And you get Volpe with the RBI triple off of a misplay. Soto then picks up a sac fly. It's 4-0 Yankees. Bottom 5 makes it 5-0 when Rizzo goes deep with another home run, solo bomb. Top 6, it got interesting when Clark Schmidt went back out there and Rooker hit a 3-run bomb off of him. So that was it for Schmidt. Weaver came in after that, but it was 5-3. And then bottom 6 comes. Jimenez is in the game for Oakland. And Juan Soto, with a deep shot to dead center field, Soto hits a solo bomb to make it 6-3. Bottom 7, it becomes 7-3 off the Verdugo sac fly against Mueller. And the Yankees win 7-3. Schmidt, Weaver, Hamilton was your formula. Schmidt went 5 1/3, 3 runs, 2 walks, a hit batter, 4 hits allowed, 6 strikeouts, a home run, 92 pitches in the win. His stuff is so filthy, man. Everything Clark Schmidt throws moves. That cutter is his primary fastball. He picked up 3 more strikeouts on that pitch in this game. And he looked like he was just headed for an excellent start. He was cruising again. Now, the first inning was a little bit iffy, but he gets a 1-2-3 in the second, strikes out Langoliers on that sweeper. Third inning, he's 1-2-3. Doesn't allow a hit in the fourth inning, just a walk. And the fifth inning, he gets that double play. But here we go again. It was the same problems, third time through the order. The sixth inning comes, he hits a batter, lets up a double, and then a little bit later, lets up the one-out home run for 3 runs to come across. So that ends up completely ruining his line, which would have looked very good. But third time through the order, he just can't get it done. And I'm not going to blame Boone for trying to stretch him 6, because we need length from some of these guys, especially with the bullpen being a little iffy. But Clark Schmidt just, it was the same problem last year. The lineup flips for the third time, and they mash him. They mash him. So that's always been his problem, and it's not changed a bit so far this season. The bullpen, 3 2/3, no runs. Weaver was flawless. He got 2 outs in the 6th and then pitched the entire 7th and 8th. So 2 2/3, no runs, 3 strikeouts. Hamilton was also flawless. It was his first time getting a 1-2-3 inning since April 3rd against the Diamondbacks. So that was much needed. He also had 100% strikes. 11 pitches, all of them strikes. So he got the 9th, pitched 1-2-3, allowed no runs. The bats in this game, 7 runs, 11 hits, 4 extra base hits, 4 walks, 8 strikeouts, a double play hit into, and they were 4-for-8 with runners in scoring position. Against Boyle, they got 2 runs on Boyle in 3 innings. And then against the Oakland bullpen, 5 runs in 5 innings. Volpe was 2-for-5, triple, RBI, Judge 2-for-5. Home run, couple RBIs, double play. Rizzo 2-for-4, homer, RBI. Wells 2-for-3, bunt, a walk. Soto 1-for-3, a walk, a home run, a sac fly, and 2 RBIs. Stanton was 1-for-4, a couple strikeouts. Glaber, same thing. Verdugo 0-for-1, 2 walks, a sac fly, RBI. Oswaldo was 0-for-4. And that was game 3. That was the only win, or that was the last win of the series the Yankees would get, because today, tonight, in game 4, you had Nestor Cortes. Let me see if I can... He's not supposed to be on the screen here. It's supposed to be the other guy, Alex Wood. So let me see if I can change this graphic. I'm just OCD. I don't like it matters. Here we go. Alex Wood. It was Cortes against Wood. Here we go. A little graphic designing for you. Yeah, here we go. This was a loss. It was a 3-1 loss. Bottom second, Trevino hits a solo home run. So the Yankees are on the board. Top 3, you had Allen with a solo home run, and then Nevin with the 2-run home run. And it was 3-1 Oakland, and that was it. Nestor went 7, and then it was Santana and Gonzalez. 7 innings for Nestor, 3 runs, no walks, 5 hits, 4 strikeouts, 2 home runs allowed, 94 pitches, and he got the loss. The third inning was his only issue, but it bothered me because I hate nothing more than pitchers not being able to get a shutdown inning, and that he didn't do. So that's not going to be on the stat sheet, but failing to complete a shutdown inning when your team scores for you takes away from a good start. So it was a fine start, but that's always going to bother me. I thought his stuff looked good. I thought his off-speed stuff looked great. You know, he wasn't just relying on the variety of fastballs that he throws, but he was going with a changeup to righties. I thought that looked solid. He had a lot of movement on the curveball, and he was getting strikes with his off-speed pitches too. So that was good to see from Nestor, who's been the Yankees arguably their best starting pitcher this year, right? He's giving them length more than anybody else, and he hasn't had a single clunker yet this year. I don't think any Yankee starter has had a bad outing yet. You know, it's been mostly mediocre to very good. So he was good. The bullpen, two innings, no runs. Santana kind of sucked. He does suck. He put traffic on the bases. He had a wild throw on the pickoff attempt. So he got the eighth inning. Ended up, despite two base runners, getting out of it. Gonzalez, who's been mostly good this season, was good in this game. Ninth inning, he pitched. No runs allowed. The bats in this game were fucking dreadful. One run on 11 hits. Two extra base hits. Three walks. 11 strikeouts. Two double plays hit into. One for seven with runners in scoring position against Alex Wood. They got one run on him in 5 2/3 against the Oakland bullpen. No runs in 3 1/3. They were just stranding villages, as they've been doing all fucking year. In the first inning, they load the bases with nobody out. Well, Stanton strikes out on a slider that's not even close. And then Rizzo pounds it into the dirt the Yankee way and hits into a double play. They had a chance in the fourth inning with first and second, nobody out. Gleyber with a one-pitch pop-up to right field. And then later in the inning, bases are loaded with two outs. Trevino, or bases are loaded, I think, with one out, maybe. And yeah, because Trevino hits into a double play. Fifth inning, Oswaldo Cabrera is on first base with nobody out. Volpe strikes out on a changeup. Soto hits into a force out. You get in the same inning, first and second. Two outs. Stanton grounds out. And then the sixth inning, first and third, two outs. Oswaldo at the plate. Ground ball out. So wasted opportunity after wasted opportunity. So many men could have scored. They should have had 14 fucking runs this game. They did nothing. Soto was 1 for 4, double, walk. Rizzo, 1 for 4, hit into a double play. Oswaldo Cabrera, 1 for 4. Judge, 0 for 3, two walks, two strikeouts. Stanton, 0 for 4, a couple strikeouts. Gleyber, 2 for 4. Verdugo, 2 for 4. Trevino, 2 for 4, home run, RBI, double play. Volpe, 2 for 5, which I think we'll get to our, let's do it. Let's tip our caps to Anthony Volpe. Anthony Volpe was the best Yankee bat of the series. He was 6 for 17, which is a .353 average. His OPS in these four games was .801. He had a triple. RBI, 4 strikeouts, a run scored, 8 total bases. And he played in all 4 games of this series. Anthony Volpe on the year, doing pretty good. He's batting .299 now. You know, and it's nice to see the .299 still. You know, he had a little bit of a slump, moved to the leadoff spot. Slumps a little bit. People think it was because he was in the leadoff spot. I think it was because nobody's going to bat .400 over the course of a full season. That's how baseball works. But it was nice to see him start to hit the ball a little bit again. He was putting up solid at-bats, put some good swings on the ball. He was driving it the other way a ton, left-handed pitching. You know, he turned on Mason Miller's slider, pulled that. So it was nice to see him do a little bit of everything at the plate. The power is kind of fading a little bit. It hasn't been there a ton, but he's getting a lot of base hits, which I'm okay with that. You know, I'm okay with that. He's the leadoff hitter. I've been saying for a while that less home runs, more line drives and ground balls I'll live with because he has the speed to beat it out, as you saw in this series. The only thing you want to keep an eye on is you're seeing less and less walks, and a little more striking out with Volpe. So with the power regressing and the walks going down and the strikeouts going up, not the greatest indicator, but again, Anthony Volpe had a good series, played some great shortstop, and his defense has been a positive this year. So good for Anthony Volpe. He's hitting, he's fielding, he's running, he's having a good year. So I'm tipping my cap to him, and I'm doing that for the third time this season, Anthony Volpe. So good job to him. On the mound, starting pitcher, Carlos Rodon is getting a cap tip. Seven innings, no runs, a hit, four strikeouts, couple walks, couple hit batters, no home runs, 92 pitches, and the no decision. He was good. He was very good. Working very quickly in rhythm. That's nice because he wasn't doing that a lot last year. The pitch mix was good again. That's been the main talking point with Rodon. You know, is he just going to be fastball slider? Well, he's added in the cutter. He's mixed in the changeup a little bit. He's showing the curve here and there. And in this game, he was, again, very cutter heavy. It seems like that cutter's catching up to that slider. The Matt Blake cutter. He was 58% four seam and then 15% cutter. That was the most used secondary pitch. 14% slider, 8% change, 5% curve. So that was nice to see, mixing in that cut fastball. He's been good this year. Carlos Rodon's had a good season so far. He was a big question mark entering the season. He was my X factor, and he's had a good year. So let's give credit. We all like to nitpick. He's not the most easiest guy to root for sometimes, but the guy's had a good year. And that's that. On the year, Carlos Rodon is 1-1 with a 2.70 ERA. That's across five starts now, 26 and two-thirds innings. So, good. Fine. The next step for him is just consistency, right? Stringing together quality starts. I don't know if he's done that yet. So, that's going to be the next step for Carlos. Just string it together. And then let's go real quick to the bullpen. Ron Marinaccio. I'm giving Ron Marinaccio, I'm tipping my cap to him. He pitched in the first two games of the series, two innings, no runs, three strikeouts, just a walk. The only man on base was a walk. Got a hold. Yeah, man. His changeup, I've always liked Ron's changeup. You know, as a right-handed pitcher, seeing him use that changeup away to the lefty, in on the righty, it's a nice pitch. And, you know, with the Yankees bullpen low on reliable arms this year, I would love for Marinaccio to be part of the pen again. You know, last year he wasn't great. They sent him down. You really didn't see him anytime after that. I don't know. I feel like he should be given more chances. I don't feel like the Yankees give him enough chances. He was good. He was very good 2 years ago. I feel like he could be a good part of the bullpen. I don't know why they don't use this guy more. They called him up not too long ago just because of, you know, injuries, and hopefully they keep him up here because I like his stuff. Nothing crazy, but he's got a good changeup, and I think he's a guy who can get some outs for them. So good for Marinaccio. Strung together a couple of nice outings, and since he's gotten the call-up, outside of the first game he came in and gave up a bomb, he's been pretty fun. So good for him. Ron Marinaccio getting his first of the year. Tipping my cap for the first time to him this season. Yeah, like the pitching's not been the problem. The problem's been the lineup. They're not producing much offense, folks. They're still not hitting. And that should not be a case. It should look a lot better than it does. A lot of their offense this year comes in one inning. I don't know the numbers. They're not in front of me, but it feels like the Yankee lineup explodes and they let everything out in just one inning, and then they just fall the fuck right asleep the rest of the way. It happened this series with the four runs in game three or game two, whenever that was. And it's been happening a lot this year. And their approach this year, they're taking a lot of pitches. They're putting up long at-bats. I think they're fourth in pitches per plate appearance. But, like, they're almost doing it too much. Where, like, they're getting in these favorable counts, these hitters' counts, but they're not taking advantage of it. They're not, you know, guys like Judge are taking too many fastballs down the plate, it feels like. And it just, it doesn't seem like they're slugging in favorable counts. There's no pop. It's a bunch of singles, a lot of ground balls. They're pounding it into the dirt and hitting into these double plays. So it's like singles and walks, and then you just don't drive him in because you're hitting into a DP. And it's a lot of guys who you want to produce, but the main guys aren't producing. Aaron Judge, and that's a guy you need to produce. Anthony Rizzo, he's supposed to be this big lefty bopper in the middle of the order, right? That's why he's here. You need him to produce power. He had two home runs this series, so hopefully that's something to build on. It is Oakland. But, you know, it's supposed to be a deep lineup that hits. Like, deep lineups are supposed to have multiple guys hitting at once. But it just feels like this year, certain guys are off when certain guys are on. And earlier in the year, it was like Soto, Oswaldo, and Volpe were hitting. Everybody else was bad. Now it's like Soto's been good. Volpe's been good. Judge has shown life lately. The catchers have even shown life lately. But on the flip side of that, now Stanton's coming back down to earth. Now Cabrera's coming back down to earth. He's not getting on base anymore. And I know baseball, the ebbs and flows of it, and you're going to have, with every team, like some guys are going to get cold when others are hot. But it shouldn't be the case where the lineup never gets going at once. You should still get times where they're all going. Like, we do still have to see that. It is April 26th. We are 26 games in. We're about a month in. We need to start seeing the offense produce. You know, and that starts, again, with your best hitters. Your two best hitters from last season have not done jack shit this year. Aaron Judge and Gleyber Torres haven't done a thing. Gleyber has shown zero power at the plate. The extra base hits have vanished once again. That was a problem for him 2 and 3 years ago. Aaron Judge taking a lot of pitches, not capitalizing, missing so many middle cut fastballs at 90 miles an hour. So many meatballs that he usually punishes missing. Now, again, him and Torres have shown signs of life this series. They're getting on base. Judge with the power, Gleyber with two hits today, some walks. But you need consistency. And they're going to be the two guys that I'm going to be looking at the rest of the way. Because we're getting a little late into the season here. You can't really use the early excuse as soon as we get to May. That's where I cut it off. So, it's I mean, you're getting more production from the catchers right now than you are from certain guys. Like, you know, Wells in his last five games has an on-base of 529. He was on base three times in game three. Trevino in his last eight games is batting 423. Seven RBIs, couple homers, couple walks. On the year, Trevino's 273, 756. That's better than Aaron Judge. That shouldn't be the fucking case. Jose Trevino should never have a stat line that looks better than Aaron Judge's. Never. So I just look at this team and I'm just looking at it like, how sustainable is this? Is this really a winning formula? Can this pitching staff really continue to carry them? Like, doing it for 1 month is one thing. Anybody can do that. But can they do this the whole year? I don't know. Because I look at specifically the bullpen. That still scares me. Doesn't seem to be any roles in that bullpen. One day it's this guy getting this inning. The next day it's that guy getting that inning. You know, I just... I don't, there's not a lot of reliability there. There's Ian Hamilton, there's Clay Holmes, but you know Clay is going to be limited to the ninth inning role. And then it's like, who's there outside of Hamilton? You know, Gonzalez is maybe earning some trust, but outside of him, I mean, fuck. Weaver's got an ERA above 4. Santana's got an ERA above 5. Ferguson's got an ERA close to 6. You got guys on the DL. You still don't know where Canely is. Like, they need to make some moves for an arm at some point. Either a big name or a strikeout artist. You know, we have too many guys who rely on the ground ball and rely on pitching to contact. You need a guy who's clutch. You need a guy who is going to give you low-stress innings. A guy who's going to miss bats and the guy you know is just going to get outs without any base runners moving over. So, and I'm concerned because I feel like the Yankees are going to do the whole thing where they say, well, we have our own acquisitions coming back in Trevino, in Efros, in Canely, etc. Versus actually making a fucking move, right? Or I fear that if they do make a move for a bullpen arm, it's going to be another random, another Cashman Blake reclamation project. You know, another guy who's under team control and heading into arbitration just because Cashman loves that shit. That's what I worry about. So it's how long can that bullpen really do that? The rotation, I always thought the rotation had a high ceiling. So right now they're doing their thing. But I concern, you know, we're 7-7 in our last 14 games. We got off to that hot start, but it's kind of been that hot start that's kept us above water. You know, Houston series, that series is way in the past now. I think a lot of us got in over our heads, including myself, in over my head a little bit. But at the same time, I've been saying it all year, just like I was saying in the offseason, in the preseason, this Yankees team is an okay team. They're an okay team. They're not a good team. They're not a bad team. They're just okay. They'll win 88, 89 games. They'll slide into that third wild card. That's my prediction. They're getting by right now with Juan Soto and pitching. That's really it. And there's a very important stretch now coming up right now where the Yankees are currently, as I speak, on an airplane going to Milwaukee to start up a 7-game road trip where they're in Milwaukee for 3 and then they go back to the East Coast to Baltimore for 4. That's a make or break stretch. These 7 games, it's their first like true test of teams that are good this season. Can they get it done? You want to know who the Yankees are? You're about to find out. Milwaukee's had a great year. Baltimore is in first place in the East. So, it's the lineup, folks. This lineup needs to start hitting the ball. Aaron Judge needs to start being Aaron Judge because we are officially 1 month into the year. Just about. So, that's all I got. Let's head to our break. When we get back, we'll wrap it up with our trivia. I said this will be a short episode. We're about to get into 40 minutes here. So let's head to break. Be right back in a few minutes.
Hey there. Thanks for listening in so far. If you enjoy this episode, please give us a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts. And if you're on YouTube, don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. Thanks so much. You can follow us on social media as well. On Instagram, we're at BD4Pod and at Rob J. Carbone. On X, we're at BD4Pod and at RJCBD4. And on Facebook, we're BD4. If you're interested in our website, just go to www.bd4blog.com. You can subscribe to our blog on there right on the front page. Just like on the podcast, we cover Yankees, Knicks, and MMA. Also on our website are the links to the different platforms for the podcast. Thanks so much. Thanks for listening to BD4, where there is no better way to get your Yankees and Knicks analysis. We also do MMA, Yanks every series, Knicks every game, and MMA on occasion.
Studio 69 Productions is a podcast production agency created by Leo Rodriguez to allow content creators to market their podcast. It's an online platform that will market your podcast or any other project that you're working on. Get in touch with Leo Rodriguez from Studio 69 Productions. You can find Studio 69 Productions on Instagram at Studio69NJ. Studio 69 Productions, where dreams are heard and born.
All right, sorry about that. Welcome back to the show, episode 671. Let's wrap this shit up with our trivia question so I can go to bed. All right. Our trivia question for this episode. On July 24th, 2004, which Yankee was hit by Red Sox pitcher Bronson Arroyo, prompting a bench-clearing brawl? On July 24th, 2004. I hear helicopters outside my house right now. As I'm recording, it's literally late. It's late. It's past midnight. I gotta see what's going on. On July 24th, 2004, which Yankee was hit by a Red Sox pitcher, prompting a bench-clearing brawl? On July 24th, 2004, which Yankee was hit by Red Sox pitcher Bronson Arroyo, prompting a bench-clearing brawl? Folks, that's it. I'm going to go to bed. I want to check out what's going on outside first. Appreciate you all stopping by. And I'll see you in 672, where we're talking Knicks Sixers. Yeah. The Knicks are going to win that series, and I can't wait until they do. Hopefully it's... No, they can't win it in white trash Philly anymore, but they can at least get their third win, which they will get on Sunday. Hopefully they, answer back from the NBA dirty play, and they get even dirtier. So that would warm my heart. That would make my heart smile for the Knicks to answer back even dirtier. So would love that. All right, thank you all for tuning in. I appreciate it. Later.
This episode was brought to you by Anchor.
Hey there. If you stayed the entire way through, we thank you immensely for it. We hope you enjoyed this podcast and that you come back for the next episode real soon. Don't forget to like, subscribe, comment, download these episodes, and share them with your friends as well. BD4 is a 5-star podcast simply because of you. And we'd like to keep it that way. Have a wonderful day. Go Yankees and go Knicks.